Looks sure feels good to see all of you here today. You know, I'll be glad when winter is over and we get all of our people back. We have quite a few families at home, they haven't been diagnosed positive with COVID, but we have quite a few at home who says, hey, we were around an exposure event and they're doing their quarantining, and then a few dealing with some aches and pains and some sicknesses, and we don't come to church if we have any sickness. And then many are also traveling. Knowing all that, looking out here, I'm so pleased. Praise God. Praise God for this. How many of you have something to praise God for?
Amen.
Amen. Yesterday, Gabe and Kayla came over, and Samantha was over, and we were watching the game. My dad was over, and Gabe and Kayla brought some pictures of my grandbaby. And I saw all kinds of pics of my little grandbaby, Shannon's little grandbaby, our grandbaby. And you know what wasn't clear to me? It wasn't very clear to me at all whether this was a boy or a girl. But what was clear to me, well, very apparent, is that this is going to be a piano player, a drummer, trombone player, trumpet player, going to be able to sing, and it's definitely going to be playing football or basketball. And then what was more shocking to me is, with this clarity of this little ultrasound, was this baby doesn't like soccer. I'm like, hey, it's amazing how much you can see in an ultrasound. Truth be known, the baby is healthy. And God, give him glory when you see all those pictures of how God knits together a baby in the womb. Boy or girl, all that matters is that that child comes to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and is used for God's glory, right? Even if they are quarterback for Ohio State. But hey, last week, what did we do? We looked at John the Baptist, the messenger of grace. How we can trust God even when he seems at times absent, we saw. And that we can thank him for his amazing grace and be his messengers of grace this Christmas season, where we can point people to Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Well, today we're going to look at Jesus the Savior, the message of love. Let the Christmas message never be old to us, right?
Amen.
Amen. Could there be a more evident message of love than the Son of God himself, Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, with us? Could there be a greater message of love? No, I don't believe so. And that is what Christmas is about. Christmas is God's message of love to the world, God's message of love to us. And we don't want to forget that. We want to take great joy in that. Listen to Titus 3, verses 4 through 5. It says, but when the kindness of God, our Savior, and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. Isn't that a beautiful verse? Paul's one-line summary of Christmas. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us. What a beautiful message. Has the magnitude of that verse, the truth of this statement, has it lost its grip on us a little bit, maybe? Has it lost its power in our life? Does it bring joy to you when you read that? Or are you just going through another Christmas? You know, the Holy Spirit, speaking through the Apostle Paul, he goes to the heart of the birth of our Lord and Savior in Bethlehem so long ago. For the Savior's birth was not just Jesus, everyone, appearing in the world, but it was God's love for mankind that appeared in Jesus Christ.
Amen?
Amen. Christmas is God's message of love. It's his message of love. So what does this mean? What could this mean? What is involved in this message of love? Let's look at that this morning. I want to look this morning at four wondrous truths about God's message of love. And it should move our hearts to love, to praise, to thank, and worship our Lord this Christmas, today, every day, not just Christmas. Amen? Lord, I just thank you today that you've given us another day of life. Lord, everything from you by your grace is a gift. Lord, I just thank you for our salvation. I thank you for what you've done for us. Lord, as we look to your word this morning and we see this message of love, Lord, let it so flood our hearts that we can only sing and praise and glorify and worship you. Lord, we love you and we thank you. We thank you for our salvation. I pray today, Lord, anyone here or anyone viewing, if they don't know you as their Lord and Savior, that right now you will be moving in their heart to see this message of love and to act upon it. In your name, Jesus, we pray these things. Amen. So first this morning, to the Father, the message of love meant the giving of his Son. That's our first of four. What we know, John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Amen? Literally, this reads this way: his Son, the only begotten, he gave. That's how this reads. His Son, the only begotten, he gave. Wow. All the emphasis here is on the astonishing greatness of this act of God giving us his Son. By the way, this word only begotten is incredibly significant in expressing the overwhelming act of this kindness, the overwhelming act of this love. It doesn't refer to generation or procreation, but it refers to uniqueness. Uniqueness here. The NIV captures the meaning of this translation well with his one and only Son. His one and only Son. It's very unique. You know, how many of you out there are fathers? Yeah? Well, myself as a father, the depth of this act of love, it overwhelms me. You come at my children, it's not good for you. Think of this for a minute. As a father, what is implanted in us as fathers? Everything in me as a father wants to preserve my child, protect my child, provide for my child. Everything in me. Yet far from preservation and protection here, God the Father, out of his love for us, gives us his only Son, his only begotten Son. Romans 8:32 tells us that God did not spare his own Son, but delivered him over for us all. Amen? How many of you have seen the movie Sarah's Key? I watched this this past week. This movie was truly gripping. When the Germans began separating Jews back in World War II. Here in this movie, it was France rounding up Jews and putting them in concentration camps to send them off to the death camps where there 74,000 people died. One scene in this movie was truly gripping when they started separating the families. At first, they separated the father. They would take the father and separate him from the families. I can only assume it would make it easier for those who were entrapping and enslaving and getting ready to kill these people to remove the father. At first, they were separated from their wives and their children, and it was hard, And some resistance was shown at that point, but at least the fathers believed their children were within the protection of the mother. But then the guards began to separate and take the children from their mothers, telling them it was only temporary. It was then when all pandemonium broke out. Mothers hurled themselves at the guards. Children started screaming and crying. Desperate tug of wars took place between the mothers and the guards, with the children in the middle, as agonized mothers suffered beatings out of love for their children to keep them from going to the Nazis to deliver them. Everything in a parent is to protect their child. And when you try to take a child from a parent, game on. The evidence of a parent's love for those children was seen in the great confrontation in the moment. Those children had to be forcibly taken from their parents. Yet no one forcibly took the son from the father, Jesus from the father. No one forcibly did that, and nobody could do it if they wanted. That's amazing when you think of that from a parent's perspective. As we saw a few weeks ago in Peter's first message in Acts 2:23, that God the Father, according to his predetermined plan and his foreknowledge, delivered his son over to godless men to be nailed to a cross and put to death. Remember that, what Peter said? You see, the birth of Jesus, Christmas, meant a great deal to God the Father, more than we can imagine. If we could just sit there and imagine what it meant to God. It was the first step in the deliberate giving of his beloved son to a brutal cross, to a godless mob, to a horrific death. Wow, to think of this. Second, this morning I want you to see, to the son, the message of love meant the leaving of his glory and the laying down of his life. 2 Corinthians 8:9 tells us, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich." I mean, think of this statement for a moment. Don't just read Scripture. Think on Scripture. What is it saying? Think of this statement and the deep truth it reveals. It says, though he was rich, he became poor. Let me ask you a question. When was Jesus ever rich and then became poor and poverty stricken in this life? I mean, Jesus was born poor, stayed poor, and died poor. He wasn't rich in this life and becoming poor in this life. He owned one cloak and even lost that one cloak at the cross as he hung on that cross naked for us. Jesus had no place, remember, to lay his head, and he was laid to rest even in a borrowed tomb. Talk about poor. There was no time in our Lord's life when he was rich and then was plunged into poverty. So when was he rich? He was rich before he came into this world. What's the Bible really telling us here? Listen to Philippians 2:5-8. "Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." You see, everyone, Christ Jesus existed in the form of God. Amen. This word "form" means of the same nature and essence. Amen. That's what that word "form" means. as God. Or, as it says, he existed in equality with God. Do you see that? Take that in for a moment. Just stop and soak that in. Here is an amazing truth that all Christians know and must believe, that Jesus is God incarnate. That before he came into this world of time and space, he gloriously, eternally pre-existed as God, God the Son, the second person in the Godhead, God the Son. There's where he was rich. John 1, 1 through 14, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Wow. Wow. God who created all things, owns all things. God the Son who was rich in every way imaginable and beyond all that we can truly imagine. Rich in glory and majesty and splendor, before whom all the angels of heaven fall down and say, holy, 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 holy. Yet he in his love willingly became poor for you. Willingly became poor for me, for the world. Wow. Far from wondrous in leaving his riches and glory was that he left his glory to lay down his life for us. Let's go back to Philippians 2:6 for a moment. He did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, meaning something to selfishly hold on to. It says, but emptied himself. He did not empty himself of his deity. He did not empty himself of who he is. He did not empty himself of his prerogatives as God. But taking on the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men and being found in the appearance of a man, what he did is he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. It wasn't just death. It was even a worse form of death, the most degraded form of death, death on a cross. That trip to the cross to lay down his life for us began in Bethlehem. There's a gospel song, if that isn't love, it says, he left the splendor of heaven knowing his destiny, was the lonely hill of Golgotha there to lay down his life for me. And if that isn't love, then the oceans are dry. If that isn't love, there's no stars in the sky. Meaning point, that's love. If that isn't love. So to the Father, the message of love meant giving of his Son. To the Son, the message of love meant the leaving of his glory and the laying down of his life. Next, to the world, the message of love means the provision or providing of salvation. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go back to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Amen. Verse 17, for God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Notice in these two verses, for God so loved the world, verse 17, the world, the world, the world. That word world is all of humanity, mankind.
Amen.
God so loved the world, the world, the world, the world, that they might be saved through him. If that is you today, all you can do is go, ha ha, woo! Wow. You mean he died for me, saved me? When I was a little baby in the womb, like I was talking to you about in Kayla's womb, me? He had a plan for me, he died for me. He saved me. Nothing should be like this. Just saying. Think of it. Think of it. Because think of this for a minute. Why would God, the Son, who wrapped himself in all this glory with the heavens as his mantle, wrap himself in flesh in Bethlehem and suffer himself to be beaten, scourged, humiliated, trampled, spit on, and crucified? Because if salvation was to be provided to the world, we must understand something. This was the only way. This was the only way. You see, God saw the condition of the world that is the world of mankind. He saw it so serious that only his own intervention could remedy the problem. Our spiritual condition, lost in our sin, was so miserable that even God, with all his infinite wisdom, with all his infinite power, infinite resources of grace, infinite resources of mercy, infinite resources of love, there was no other solution for the satisfying of God's own holy character, God's own holy righteousness, his redeeming and redeeming us from our sin condition, than to give his own unique Son his own life to resolve our sin issue. Wow. Psalm 102 says, "For he looked down from his holy height. From heaven the Lord gazed upon the earth to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to set free those who were doomed to death." Praise God that he didn't just look down. He didn't just look down from his holy height and stay there. Praise God, he didn't just look down, but praise God that he came down, right? Came down to a world perishing, came down to a world doomed for their sin, their willful sins, to provide what we could not provide for ourselves, to provide salvation for any and all the world who would believe and receive in Jesus Christ. He didn't just look down. He came on down. You see, that baby in a manger makes a stunning, humbling statement. It says of us that we are sinners lost and perishing in a desperate need of a Savior. It says we cannot correct our own situation. It says we cannot walk away, work away, wish away, or wink away the punishment so due for our sins. What do we know Romans 6:23a says? For the wages of sin is death. Not just physical death, spiritual death. The penalty of death for sin, everyone, had to be paid. It must be paid. But thank God, he so loved the world that he paid it. Thank God that he so loved the world that he made provision for the salvation of the world who was dead in its sins. In Luke 2, 30 through 32, Simeon, holding the baby Jesus in his arms, he prayed to God the Father, and he's holding the baby Jesus. "For my eyes have seen your salvation," that's Jesus, "which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people. For my eyes have seen your salvation." Amen. That word "prepared" there means to set in order, make provision, get ready. Jesus told the disciples once, remember, "Go prepare the Passover," in Matthew 26:19, same word. What do? We speak of preparing dinner for our guest. which means when the guests arrive, they need only to sit down, eat, and partake of the preparation. Right on? God's salvation prepared for all people is Jesus. All that is necessary for salvation has been prepared by God in the giving of His Son. It is all done for all time, for all the world. The preparation is finished. Amen. Now just come. Come. We're invited to come, remember? Go invite them to come. Luke 14, 15 through 24. When one of those who were reclining at the table with him heard this, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." But he said to him, "A man was given a big dinner, and he invited many. And at the dinner hour, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is ready now.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said to him, 'I have bought a piece of land, and I need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused.'" You're excused. "Another one said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to try them out. Please consider me excused.' Another one said, 'I have married a wife, and for that reason I cannot come.' And the slave came back and reported this to his master. Then the head of the household became angry and said to his slaves, 'Okay, go out at once into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and crippled and blind and lame.' And the slave said, 'Master, what you commanded has been done, and there is still room.' And the master said to the slave, 'Go out into the highways and along the hedges and compel them to come in so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste of my dinner.'" Jesus likened salvation to the acceptance of an invitation to a fabulous dinner. The host says, "Come, for everything is ready now." Verse 17. Praise God for that. Everything is ready now. This word "ready" is the same word translated as prepared. Everything is prepared. Everything is ready. Meaning it's done. You need only to accept the invitation. You need only to come. How many of you, praise God, have answered that invitation? Amen. Amen. And that is the gospel, my friends. Salvation is not a matter of men preparing themselves for heaven by good works and trying to get ready themselves, but it is accepting what God has already prepared for you, the preparation in Jesus Christ, which makes them ready by washing their sins away when they confess them and clothing them in robes of righteousness. If that is you, we should say, praise the Lord. If I could get off the ground, I'd be going, click, click, yay, yay, woo, praise the Lord. My sins have been washed away? Wow. You mean you prepared this in advance for me? All I got to do is come over, come inside to your big dinner and just sit down because it's all prepared and ready and done? Yes, I forgive you. Come in off those streets. Come in off those highways. Come in off those byways. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. How do I see the depths of where I came from and what God has done for me and not be rolling in joy, flooded with, I don't know. I'm a loss for words. They need only to respond to the invite. How about you? This Christmas, I read about a little boy who came home from Sunday school It was around Christmas time. And he asked his father, "Dad, what does the word ignore mean?" His father correctly told him it means to refuse to take notice, to reject something. He then asked his son, "Why are you asking me this question?" The little boy said, "Well, in Sunday school today, we learned a new song. Oh, come, let us ignore him. Oh, come, let us ignore him. Oh, come, let us ignore him." Who? Oh, we're ignoring him. That's definitely a made-up story. But it's so Sally depicts the truth every Christmas. Multitudes will go through this Christmas singing Christmas songs, talking about the baby and ignoring the message of love, rejecting the invitation to come to salvation found only in Jesus. Multitudes will come professing Jesus as Lord and Savior and find no real joy or meaning because we've been doing it forever, rather than falling down and saying, "Oh, I will not ignore you. Oh, Lord, look what you've done for me. Look at your message. Let me live it. Let me feel it. Let me experience. Let me be used for your glory. Is that the least I can do?" The Creator of the world came to a cradle for us. For us. That he might go to the cross for the world. And to the world, all he says is, "Won't you believe? Won't you receive? Won't you come? Won't you come?" That's what Christmas is about. Let's not ignore his invitation, if that is you who've never received it. So what have we seen today? To the Father, the message of love meant the giving of his Son. To the Son, the message of love meant the leaving of his glory and the laying down of his life. To the world, the message of love means the providing of salvation. Lastly, to the believer, the message of love means receiving the gift of eternal life. "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name," John 1:12. When you received him, when you believed him, you became his child, and you have eternal, everlasting life. You have believed him. You have received him. His message of love at one point melted your heart. You know the time. You know the place when you first believed, or you know the time frame. For some of you, it was many years ago. Praise God. To others, it's been recently. Praise God. And because you have believed by his grace, you have received the gift of eternal life. Think of this for a moment, Romans 6:23. I'm going to tell our African refugee, our Grace Embrace children, this today. "For the wages of sin is death." Left there, there would be no hope. What if it was just left there? It's because of our sin and the payout of those wages that Jesus came to do something about it. Yet God didn't finish Romans 6:23 with the word death, praise God. Amen. He ushers in the close of the verse with the greatest gift, the greatest hope the world could ever hear, the world could ever know. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Yahoo! Yahoo! Woo! Yeah! Wow! Man! I'm not dead. I don't have to stay in my dead state. Thanks for the guitar, son. Guys, This isn't fake. I don't know what to do. I am going to die. But I'm not going to pay for my sins when I do. Why? Because God loved me so much. He emptied himself and came here. But the free gift, that's what it is. It's free. Let that sink into us. If you're a believer and you know him as your Savior, it has sunk in. Go dig that back out and let it renew you. Let it revive you. Let it burn a fire in you to be the messenger of his grace. When the Apostle Paul thought about it, you know what he said when he thought about it? He said, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Amen. That's what he thought about it. In the context, he's teaching the Corinthians about giving and giving generously and giving freely. Paul's heart is reminded of God and his grace and his generosity and his great gift of eternal life found in Christ Jesus. And he says it's indescribable. Paul says that God's gift is so awesome, so magnificent, that adequate words cannot be found to really describe it. A singular English word is ineffable. It's ineffable, meaning something incapable of being expressed in words. Think about that. If you're here today, if you're tuning in with us today, and you can say in your heart this morning that I am saved, that's the most magnificent statement you could ever say. That I have believed, that I have received the gift of God's Son and now have eternal life in him, then you have received a gift beyond the capability of words to describe. But think about this. It's not just that the great Apostle Paul, who was educated in the finest schools of the day and whose wisdom and way with words was legendary. It'd be one thing if he wasn't really good with words. If he could not put into words what we have in the gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus. I mean, but even more astonishing, the Holy Spirit who inspired Paul is saying there is no words in your human vocabulary that would make sense of this now. There is no vocabulary on this earth that can adequately describe this inexpressible gift of eternal life found in Jesus Christ. There's no vocabulary on this earth that can adequately describe the inexpressible message of love that made the gift of eternal life possible. What could be said? What words can you gin up? What could be said? We're going to sing hymn 290. Right, Kayla? The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest stars and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Do you remember that day when you were pardoned from your sin? Amen. The song goes on. When years of time shall pass away and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall. When men who here refuse to pray on rocks and hills and mountains call. God's love so sure shall still endure, all measureless and strong. Redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song. Could we with ink the oceans fill, and were the skies of parchment made, where every stalk on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless, how strong. It shall evermore endure the saints and angels' song. Oh, praise God for the love of God. Therefore, whether you have a little or a lot this Christmas, for many of us, your home may be missing a loved one, or whether your house is full, whether you are alone or in a big party, if you have received the gift of God, if you have received eternal life in Jesus Christ, you are blessed and have reason to celebrate. You have reason to shout, reason to give joy, no matter what, because going forward, you know, I am a believer and I have eternal life, no matter what is going on in the world around us. So as Paul said, thanks be to God. Everybody laugh, shout it out. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God for his message of love. Lord, I praise you. Thanks be to you, God. Thank you for what you've done for us. Lord, forgive us where apathy may be, where complacency may be. Lord, drive that out of us. Renew in us a spirit that so is in tune with you, that we are overflowed by you. Lord, we don't have the words to describe this indescribable, inexpressible gift. But Lord, I know enough to know this, that you love me, you died for me, and you are going to take me home to glory, all because of your love. We praise you, Lord. This Christmas, Lord, let us be around our families and in our homes, and let us praise you. Let us give you glory. Let us be your messengers of grace. If you're here today and you're an unbeliever, don't ignore God's message of love this Christmas. Come to Jesus Christ. Receive the free gift of eternal life only found in him. All is prepared for you, and God did it all. He paid the price for every one of your past, present, and future sins. And he says, come, come to me. If that's you today, please come forward. Please make that profession known. If you're home today and you can't be here or you're tuning in, you can get down and say that prayer. You can get down and believe in Jesus, accept him as your Savior. He'll forgive you of your sins. He'll wash them white as snow, and he'll give you eternal life. Reach out and let us know if you made that profession. Jesus, we thank you for the ability to share the wondrous truth, the good news of the gospel, all because of what you did for us. We love you, Lord. We love you. In your name, Jesus, amen. Let's
is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bow down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. When years of time shall pass away and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray on rocks and hills. sure shall still endure, all measureless and strong, redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forever. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a tribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song.
Christmas. Amen. Lord, the love of God so rich and pure. Lord, let us never forget. Let that be our song. Let us sing it forth, sing it out from hearts overflowing with joy for the gift of salvation through you. We praise you, Lord. We love you. We thank you. In your name, God, we give all the glory. In your name, Jesus Christ, we say amen.
Amen.
Those of you at home, Merry Christmas to you. Thank you for joining in. Please reach out and let us know anything that you made a decision or want to reach out and talk to us. Thank you. God bless.